for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory Declaring the Kingdom, write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, September the 4th, 2005. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Angelo Rosario from Bronx, New York is the minister on this service.
Brother Rosario, come and do whatever you need to preach conviction down on all of us.
I got to bring it down first in my life. But I haven't presented myself. My name is Angel Martin Rosario Caballero Sanchez Vasquez Arroyo Cortez Mejia. Just in case. Imported from the island of Puerto Rico to New York. Raised up in New York. Those are all my family. I got my family tree. And I thank God for all of them because I have to pray for all of them in order so that I could be set free.
Amen.
Because I take a little bit from each one of them. I had to go back into my family tree and talk to my grandparents and everyone I could find to find out how they used to live. Because one way or another, there must have been something that was flowing in my genes that was not correct. And I had to battle in order to get it. And those things that I couldn't find out, I took them to God in prayer. And God started to reveal. And I was wondering why I would have certain dreams and certain thoughts. Went to the scriptures and started to find my ancestry, the prayer tree, and started to pray and asking God to cast out whatever was there. God done such a great work because He's a loving God. Did you know that? God loved us even before we loved Him. No one could love us like God loves us. I thank God that God is not a religion or a denomination. I really thank God that God is just my Father and that He loved me no matter what. When others couldn't understand me or I couldn't understand myself, He was able to understand me. And He was able to give me time to find Him because He was showing Himself. There are many stumbling blocks that come our way, but God will remove them. And we're maturing. There are some messages that I speak to the people, and there are some messages I speak to myself, and there are some messages I speak to the bishops and the pastors, because we're going to have a large problem. We're going to have a problem so big that God is going to judge us one day for what we do to our people. The people are in the condition they're in because it is our fault. It is the shepherd's fault, the teachers. Those of us that have been called to do the work of the Lord. What are we teaching them? How do we carry ourselves to show them that God is truly in our lives? One of the things that I watch in the last days that we're living in is much different from when I started walking with the Lord. Today, the ministers don't get along. They could be at one corner, three or four churches. They don't even speak to each other. Ministers could be of any clergy persuasion, but they don't speak to each other. There's a battle. So if they have a battle, how can the members of the community come together as one? How can the children play together when what they say from their pulpits is against everybody else and it's criticism? It's not the Bible. It's not the Word of God. To bring deliverance, to bring health, to bring the blessings of God so that there will be love and peace within the community. One day we will have to pay the price before God. We will pray and we will ask the Lord, Lord, heal our communities. But if we don't heal each other, there is no community that's going to be healed. Because there has to be that we are the example. We are different because we are not of this world. And if we are not of this world, we have to walk as Christ walked. You see, Christ said very well, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. He did not conform to this world. Many times we conform to this world very easy. We forget that we've been born again. We don't live here, actually. We just walk here. We don't live here. The devil don't have any authority or any power over us. There's a love that surpasses all human understanding that dwells in us. I don't know how you feel about Jesus, but I feel that without him, I couldn't make it. But with him, I overcome this world. Makes no difference what happens, what comes my way. I believe and trust, not in myself, but in he that has given me life that lives in me. And I'm trying to say, Lord, continue to live in me, because you are the joy of my salvation. As much as I love my wife and my children, they can't stand close to my God. Because without my God, I would not have love enough for my wife, or for my children, or for anyone. Because we will be so far into ourselves that we will lose the reality that God so loved the world and gave his only begotten. I wouldn't give my son or my daughter for no one. But he loved us so much that he saw what the enemy was doing to the human race, and he was willing to make a difference. He knew that we were in captivity, and that our minds were in captivity. But the enemy had built so many religions, so many denominations. See, religion is nothing. It's just a practice. I could go to the bar religiously. I go to work religiously. Don't have anything to do with religion. All that it has to do is with the life that God has given us. To practice loving God over all the things. And loving your neighbor as you love yourself. We can't deal with our neighbor because we can't deal with ourselves. We can't talk good about our neighbors because we're always criticizing ourselves. You got to love yourself so that you could love somebody else. You got to have something in you of compassion so you can have compassion over somebody else. The Apostle John, everybody says he's the apostle of love. That is fantastic. Love is a beautiful thing. Sometimes we get it confused because we talk so much about love, but the fruits of love are not there. Love gives birth to something. Love gives birth to understanding. When you love someone, you could understand. What are you understanding? That they can't live right. They can't talk right. They can't act right. Because they're possessed. Because they have not been set free. Because they have not yet met the master of love. His name is Jesus. Because they don't have that love that surpasses all human understanding. They can't understand nobody else. You think a husband could understand the wife, or the wife understand the husband? When the love of God is there so deep in you, there's a love that surpasses all problems of life. You're able to look and say, wait a minute, wait a minute. There's somebody else there. Not the same person that I love. Not the same person that I married. And you got to tell them what I said last night. What did I say last night? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the person that is in you at this particular moment. You're not my husband. You're not my wife. There's somebody else in there. And I want you to go, you invader. You will be able to identify. Because love covers multitudes of what? Sins. And sins is only mistakes. Disobedience. Wrong decisions that we make. That don't bring the right consequence. Blessed be God. But we understand that the father of lies. I don't even want to mention his name. He just better get out of here. Because he has no room in here. He don't belong here. I don't like to talk to him about him in the church. I like to teach about him. But I really don't like to mention his name too much, because many of us Christians have his name in our mouth all the time. Like we're giving him so much glory. He has so much power that he could take so much from us. He can't take nothing but what you allow him to take. If he's going to take something nice in his hand, stick your hand out. Take that hand out of here. I smack his hand. But how am I giving my hand because he is my brother to give me help? You know, I need you when things are bad. I don't need you when things are good. When the enemy's attacking me, I need your love. I always respect a mother's love because a mother's love is supernatural almost. When the enemy comes to try to take a child and the mother grabs him and grabs that child and starts to cradle him and pray, he can't take it. Even if she gets whipped or shot, she's going to protect that child. Do you know that the enemy, there's two things that he cannot come across. The first one is the precious blood of Christ. And the second one is the love of a mother. When that mother loves somebody and holds them, they will rather die. God honors love. In the book of John, 1st of John chapter 2, verse 3. Such a beautiful book. How many love love? Love love. I love love. I couldn't live without love. Love is an amazing thing, right? I thought you're going to get married. Watch it now. Huh? Love is a beautiful thing. Whether it be natural or spiritual, it is a beautiful thing. Oh, you better believe it. Huh? But I know you're going to love her more than I would, but that's awesome. See? He carries his picture right there. See? There ain't nothing greater than love. Love is a wonderful thing. I love Brother Clement. I just met him. God bless him. But he said that he loves his enemies. His enemies can't do anything to him. I don't know. I listened to him and it sounded like I was listening to myself to a certain degree. And it shocked me because I thought I was crazy. But I met somebody else that's just as crazy as I am. And that's a good thing. Because we settle for the kingdom and not for everything else around us. You see, God is a miracle working God. God got to put love in your heart so that you could have love. You can't buy love. You can't rent love. God is a gift from God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only beloved Son. That love that comes into us transforms our very lives. It gives us love for the heavenly things. We will love the heavenly things more than the material things. He gives us love that we will dare to lay down our own lives. We don't care about this life anymore. Because we know that we're hidden in heavenly places. And we know that we're going to be living in a better life. We don't care. I don't care about this rice and beans that Puerto Ricans like so much. And their chicken, I don't care about that. I like it, I eat it, it's okay. I don't care about the lasagna and the meatballs and spaghetti that the Italians like so much. I don't care. You know why? I'm so happy that in heaven there ain't going to be no Italians. There ain't going to be no black. There ain't going to be no Puerto Rican. There ain't going to be no Irish. There ain't going to be no German. They're just going to be those that have been redeemed with the precious blood of the love of Jesus. Nobody else. God's going to tear all that down. Blessed be His name. But let me slow down because I'm getting warm here and I get excited. I get like, Brother Clement, I get excited. Because it's just that God has done so much and I watched Him yesterday and this morning. I watched Him the other day and He gets excited. And I get excited too and I say, wow. I get, maybe when I get a little older, I'll have His knowledge too. It's a great blessing. To be here is a great blessing. My church today, I haven't served. We got two services on Sundays, and I didn't even want to call them because they'll start complaining when you're coming home. You know the reality? I really don't want to go home. My church is a beautiful church. I don't think there's any other church in the world like my church. I don't have any problems in my church. Thank God. I'm happy with my church. I have a Spanish congregation in the morning and an English congregation at night with all kinds of colors from all over the world. Blessed be God. About 75 children praise and glorify God. African, American, Hispanic. I got 8 years old children preaching the word of God, teaching the love of God, There is no black or white or yellow people in my church. They're just people. Anointed by the power of God. Got them in prayer all of the time. My ministers, but the only problem that I got, God has given me more women ministers than men. How do you understand that? I mean, these women are on fire for God, but I don't see a woman. And I don't see a man. I just see servants filled with the fire of God to tear down the strongholds of Satan. Let me go to the Word. Verse 3 in 2 of John. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Isn't that amazing? If we keep his commandments. It looks like there is a question there with a doubt. If. Because it ain't easy to keep God's commandment, is it? The Ten Commandments is a law that you can't keep. But God made it easy for you. God knows that you have a problem keeping the Ten Commandments. The moment that you break one, you broke them all. If you think about committing adultery, you already committed adultery. You are an adulterer. He knows that we have a battle in this fallen nature, but thank God for the redemption. You see, a lot of people stay stuck in the human nature. They forget that we have authority over the human nature. When we are born again, we are riding on top of the human nature. The human nature cannot ride us any longer. We have the power and authority to take control of our human nature, of the fallen nature. We have the right to deny ourselves. And God has given us power and authority through His Spirit to say, no, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. To take the fruits of the Spirit and put them under submission and obedience to the calling of God. Why? Because you don't live anymore. Keep the commandments. The commandments are just two tablets. I go like this, like the two tablets of the heart. They go plim, 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 plim. And then the Lord said, you know what? I'm going to do you a favor because you're too concerned with all the commandments. And I'm going to just give you two commandments. Love God over all the things. And love your neighbor if you love yourself. That is the hardest thing because people don't even love the neighbor they sleep with. They can't deal with the neighbor they sleep with. But the person that God put there. But then when we get in problem, we say, Lord, that's the woman that you gave me. Hey, that's something. We want to blame God. But God has given us a tremendous blessing. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. You got to test yourself to see if you truly know Him. And if you don't know Him, go to your pastor and tell him to introduce you, to show you. Because the people are perishing for the lack of knowledge. Yes, there are baby Christians. But baby Christians got to grow up too sometime. And then we continue to grow from grace to grace. In order for us to be victorious, we got to know His Word. There are people in far off countries that don't have the Bible. But they know God through nature. And sometimes they act more friendly than we do. They have more love and more consideration than we do. When you know the Lord, the commandments of love flow into your heart. That is the birth of God in us. We stop loving the drugs more. Why? Because the drugs do not cannot compete with the love of God. When I came to the Lord, I had a box of Marlboro cigarettes with about 6 sticks of marijuana in them. And I walked into the church. 1960. When I walked into that church, that pastor was preaching and he pointed his finger and I got froze. When I walked out of there, I used to get high, and I said, man, I'm higher than a cloud. When I walked out of there, I was higher than the heavens itself. I got to the corner of the block, and I took my cigarettes with the marijuana in it, and I threw it into the sewer and walked away. Would you believe that I've been high every day since that moment to this day? God gave me something. He took something from me. He took something material, He took something diabolical, and He gave me something holy that does not belong to this world. And Brother Kermit says, look up to the heavens like that. It reminded me that God told me when I took my last drink, I was looking to heaven, I saw the stars for the first time in my life. From that moment on, I don't look down, I look up to the glory of God. Why? Because His love did not come from earth. His love came from heaven, because God so loved the world that He sent His Son down here to me. Blessed be God. Whoa, watch it now. He's so good. And He gives me such much love and so much peace. That's not a religion. That is reality. The reality of God gives you the hope of glory. The commandments are just there to make you aware that there is something better, that there's something greater, that the devil does not have a stronghold over you anymore, that you should stop praying and stop believing. When you pray, it's for divine revelation. Not pray to complain to God. Not pray to ask God, give me this. Why don't you ask Him to give you the keys to the kingdom? Why don't you ask Him to give you the power to be an overcomer? Why don't you ask Him to give you the power to heal your home and heal your community? Hallelujah. Why would you ask Him for new shoes that are going to get holes in it, and cars that are going to get flat tires and grow old? In a couple of months, you lose the taste of that brand new car you bought. But when you touch the heavenly thing, you will never lose the taste for it. There is nothing like Him. But let me get to the word. I don't know. I have a problem with this. One time I had to stay behind the pulpit and they come and, Reverend, you gotta stay there. And I try. I surely try. And one of my buddies told me, Angel, I'm gonna take you to a Methodist church that I want you to speak there. But they're a little proper. You gotta remember that. And it's my uncle's church. And I told him how God uses you. I said, okay. He says to me, you're going to preach one day, and I'm going to preach the next, and we're going to have a 7-day revival. I said, okay, I will try. And we get into the church, and I start to feel this fire that comes down. And I'm holding the pulpit. And I'm just shaking my legs back and forth and saying, Lord, help me here. And I said, Lord, I still remember the message. And it was the anointment upon David. Whoo, Lord God. And I said, that anointment is still alive and it's here more today than before. And God wants to pour it down on you. And they're over there. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. All of a sudden the fire, I see like the Holy Spirit up in the center of the dome and my life is being full and the revelation is coming and I'm looking down at the Orient and I started to point out. And the Lord started telling me, tell this person this and that person that. And the fire just came down. The pulpit had a boundary around it, but you couldn't get around that barrier. I felt like I was in prison. You remember last night I talked about the hedge that was around Job? Man, but there was a hedge, and I think that God helped me jump the hedge. I got out the microphone and I blessed God and I said, Lord, thank you because I'm not in prison, I've been set free. Woo! And I jump over the ring and I run out and I touch somebody in the person. And I touch them again, the person. When the third time I just touch them, the person. Everybody's looking to see what's going on. Demons started to come out. The second night, I'm praying for my partner, Reverend Hooper. He could hoop, I'm telling you, he could hoop. And I'm kneeling down and say, Lord, bless him, Lord, anoint him. He comes by me and he says, Angel. And I said, I'm praying for you, but I don't worry about it. He says, Angel. I said, what? I ain't the preacher tonight. I said, what? He said, no. God just told me that I'm not preaching, that you're preaching. You better get up and preach. I said, Fred, what's wrong with you? He said, I don't know, but I can't preach. God don't want me to preach, and I know it's Him. To make a long story short, I had to preach the 7 nights. I had to preach the 7 nights. The church became inflamed with the power of God. Prophecy came forward on one person that died, his sister, because she was in disobedience and she didn't want to repent. She went to a party. And they dropped something in her drink on a Friday night just before we finish the revival. And God warned her at that particular moment. Because God gives you an opportunity to repent. God will give you an opportunity. He'll give you a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth. I don't know how many He will give you. But one day, He will step back and let it happen. Because of your rebellions. God don't want you to die. God don't want you to die. And I'm not talking about the natural death. Because this natural death, we all have to go through it. I'm talking about that death that's going to take us someplace else. What takes us there is the rebellion against God. Because we don't want to keep His commandments. He that said, I know Him, and keep not His commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Isn't that amazing? He's a liar. I'm sorry to tell you, but I think we're a little bit more mature. I pray that none of us become liars. Because then we don't have the Spirit of the Lord in us. We have another spirit. And that spirit has always been around trying to destroy us. The book of James chapter 8, verse 44. It's a beautiful verse. It's a beautiful conversation that Jesus had with the religious leaders of His time. You know what? I'd rather deal with unsaved people than with religious people. Religious people don't want to believe anything. They can't see change. They can't see the love of God because they've been blinded by the enemy. We want to stay in the same old place. I was told that when I was a young man that I was a rebel and I had to repent because I didn't see things the way they saw things. I was told that if I didn't repent, I would amount to nothing. And then my pastor, Mr. Clemente Repoget, a delivered minister since the 1950s, Spanish delivered minister, they couldn't speak a word in English, but the fire of God was in his belly. God done tremendous miracles with that man. They wanted to make him the president of Assembly of Christian Churches. At the time, they had 2,000 churches. He said, I will not take that because it is not God's will. God did not call me to be the president of the council. He called me to pastor my church. They wanted to give him a large church. He says, I will not move from my church. Because God called me to this little corner in the Bronx. And the church would never get more than 150 members. Never. But it always kept 150, and about 150 will leave every 2 years. Missionaries, pastors, teachers would come out of there. God would prepare them and they'd give birth, and the Lord would tell my pastor, it's time for them to go out and work. And they would go out and open new vineyards in Puerto Rico, in the Philippines, in the Dominican Republic, wherever, and they will write back, and they will give the churches and work with the council, and they were members of El Faro, which means the lighthouse. But they were working for the council. It never gained more. But I wanted you to know that over 350 ministers came out of that little church through all the years that that man was there. Why? Because God knows what He's doing. But you know what was even greater? Us ministers better know what we're doing. We got better know our calling. Each one of us has a special calling that comes from the Lord. Verse 44, right? You read it already, didn't you? It's a nice. John 8. Yeah. Verse 44. Because remember what I said? If the Lord is in us, we don't have the fruits of the devil. I rebuke him in the name of the Lord. One of the fruits of the devil is lying. Do you know that manipulating is a cousin to lying? Do you know that they live together and they sleep in the same bed? Did you know that? Do you know that little white lies and little pink lies are related? They are the children of the father of lies. Did you know that? And if they are living in us, then there's something wrong. We have to repent to get them out. Because those are the wrong fruits. You know how we manipulate the people to get money from them? And how we make stories up? That's a lie. Oh no, but I got to get the money somehow. You better get it the right way. Because if not, you're going to curse yourself and you're going to curse your congregation. God can't bless a lie. Because God said that He will bless us anyhow. He will make the rocks give me money if that's His will. I will move that rock and I will find $1 billion that the Indians left hidden there when they left. Why? Because God knows where they hit it, the money, where they hit the gold. Do you know that there's a lot of gold and rubies and diamonds that have been hidden from crusades in the past? I'm asking the Lord, Lord, show me where they're at. Hey, let me use it for the right things. Let me use it for your kingdom, not just for my own greed. Okay? But look what they said. Ye are of your father, the devil. He was talking to those chosen people. To the religious leaders. To those that said that they were descendants of Abraham. Ain't that amazing? Well, you know what? We're all descendants of Abraham. We have been adopted into the tree of faith. We just got to live right and live the way God wanted Abraham to live. We got to live in the same way because there's no difference between the time that Abraham was living and we're living. We're just in a greater blessing because we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So God opened up a new porthole for us. He gave us a new blessing, but it's the same blessing. It just happened to manifest in a little different form. You are of your father, the devil. You see? But I thank God that my Father lives in heaven and in my heart. The devil is a father too. Many people can't love because their family, they don't know how to love a father. Because fathers never love them back the way they should be loved. So they don't have a relationship. When you start to love your father, you know that your father is your protector. He's your provider. The Lord is my shepherd. But I like saying, Papi is my provider. My heavenly Papi, my heavenly Father is my provider. I should never want because He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. There's no other Lord. But let me tell you, there's a Lord of this world. He lives here, and people will rather serve Him than serve the God that provides all good things to us. Do you know that the devil, I rebuke him in the name of Jesus, has churches to him, preachers, and they do a better job sometimes than what we do. He'll offer a person a church because there are people that just want a church. People are running away from you. Speak the truth, they want to run away. But you know what I tell them? If you want to go, may the Lord go with you. Wherever you go, may He protect you. Because wherever you go, you're going to find that there's a problem. Because the problem is you. That you don't want to submit to authority. That you don't want to respect those that God has put in authority over you. If they don't know something, pray that they may learn something. That they may receive something. Go find some place where you know that they're teaching the truth and teaching the depth of the word. Send us pastors over there. Send us over here to Lakewood. That we may learn something. Invite good ministers. I don't invite too many ministers to my church. Because I, whenever I'm preaching, I'm in the pulpit and I'm, I gotta fix this up when it's finished. Sometimes I gotta just go down on my knees and say, Lord, please send your Holy Spirit. Help me in this, Lord God. Because what are you feeding the congregation? You're beating on them all the time. They come to the house of God with enough pain. They want an answer to their problem. They want a solution to their problem. They don't want to hear anything else. I'm here to tell you tonight. You are, not you. Don't get afraid now because I'm going to talk to those spirits that are here. Okay? Not you because you've been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. You are a new creation of God. You are under the protection of the Holy Spirit of God right now. God has brought angels all about us to protect us so we do not have to live in fear. But those spirits that try to come in, even to try to disguise themselves as angels of light in the church, they are of their father, the devil. And I command them in the name of Jesus to leave in Jesus' name. If they're around you, and you're having a difficult time, all you got to do is don't wait for the pastor because he may die. But Jesus died and resurrected and will never die again. All you got to do is say, in the name of Jesus, get out. You don't belong here. I pay rent here in this house. Tell him out. He got to go. when he tries to invade your mind, your emotions, because he plays with our emotions. That's where he works. He works out of our emotions. So we got to tell him, you don't have no legal right to my emotions anymore. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. See, you know why people are in that condition in the church sometimes, in that condition? Because we don't have, I have a message that God gave me. I love to lust after the things of God. Isn't that different? Is that true? You could tell me, because you could be my father, you could help me. I could lust after the flesh or after the things of the kingdom of God. And I choose, because God gave me a free will to choose, to know the difference between one or the other. Let me tell you, sometimes I look down and I got to say, Lord, rebuke these eyes. The flesh is looking through them. You got to be real with yourself and whatever you're battling. And I said, Lord, these eyes are consecrated to you. And then I start lusting after the things of heaven. And my mind takes on a different way of thought, a different pattern, because God has given me dominion over my soul. Blessed be the Lord. You ain't got to be chasing after nobody. Chase after God. Believe His Word. Trust in His Holy Spirit. Know that He will never forsake you. Know that He will never leave you. Even when you make mistakes, He don't leave you. When your children make mistakes, you don't leave them. When they ask you for a piece of bread, you don't give them a rock. Because you love them, no matter if they're not listening, not respecting, not doing whatever they're supposed to be doing. And don't you think God loves us more than that? God is a lovable God. There are times where you got to call God to bless your children while they sleep. I was talking to a young lady just before, because many children have nightmares. Don't you know that's the future of the church? And I'm going to say something, but this is my personal opinion. You don't have to accept this. I don't like to take my kids out of my church and send them to another room. I don't like it. I go to church with my kids and they say, well, there's a children's service over there. Take them over there. And they're going to talk to them at their level. But you know what? I want God to talk at the level that each child and each one of us is going to understand. I want them under the fire of God. What my brother would say, under the Shekinah of Jehovah God. That will burn all impurity and the love that comes from God down to earth, the seniors and the people, the elders, will also hit our children. Because the fire of God does that. When the children of Israel used to go to the tabernacle, they didn't leave the children outside. To them, the children were very important. They gave them laws and regulations to love their children, to talk to them about the Word of God, to walk with them in the wilderness and explain to them about the Creator and the love of God. But today we want to separate them. We wonder why they don't love their adults and they don't love anybody, because we don't want them around us. The family has thrown them out. They don't love them the same way. Go to your room and watch your television over there. You got your own television. They don't have quality time with the family, with the father, with the mother. The husband and the wife don't have no time either, because one wants to watch football while the other one wants to watch a soap opera. There's a division in the home. There's no love. See, love will never want us to separate. I remember when I wanted to talk to my wife. I call her on the phone. Man, sometimes it was cold out there. Sometimes it'd be raining, but I didn't mind my fingers. When I finished, I had to take the phone. Why? Because I wanted to talk to her. I just finished leaving her. Now she called me 3 or 4 times. She don't give up. All these years, she's still the same woman. Now it's even worse, because now we have a cell phone, so she catches me wherever I'm at. Oh, I catch her wherever she's at. She has to say, I'm in court right now. I'm having a case right now. I call you back. Click. I said, okay. Then she called me and I said, I'm in a conference at the church right now. Can't talk to you now. Call me back. Click. But that should never grow old. Do you know that the love of God never grows old? It just gets better and better as the time goes by. We have a love that surpasses all understanding. The enemy's been around since the beginning of time. Read that verse, but I'm not going to hold you here too long. I'm not going to tie you out. But I want you to learn to confide in God. I want you to learn to anoint yourself. I want you to know to trust that God's love is always with you wherever you're at. When there is no one there, the Lord is there with you. And if you don't have the oil, the Lord said you will lay your hands upon the sick, upon those that have problems and demonology. If you feel oppressed, if you feel oppressed, if you feel any type of illness, lay your own hands. Say, Lord, sanctify this hand to the glory of your name. And lay your hands on the problem that you have, because you love yourself more than anybody else could love you. The only one that could love you more than you is God. I'm telling you. Because even your husband sometimes finds fault with you. Even your wife sometimes finds fault with mine. Never finds a fault with it. She knows I'm perfect. There ain't nobody else as perfect as I am, because I've been born again. The flesh may not have, but I've been born again. But that love that is there is one that's going to help you to learn to love God over all the things. You see, no one could give you deliverance but God. And no matter where you're at, if you go to the mountaintop, God is there. If you go to the depth of the sea, God is there. No one is going to be able to understand you like God. Sometimes when you're confessing to them, they're confused. They don't know how to answer. Sometimes they may get mad because, how can you do something like that? Well, I didn't want to do something like that. But the flesh is our excuse. The only best excuse that we could use is, I'm only human. But you know what? We have been born again. And what happens is that the enemy tries to trap each and every one of us one way or the other. I need you when I am in a trap, when the enemy has me surrounded. I need your help. I need your help when there's a gang around me. You know, I come out of the Bronx in 1957, 56. Man, there were so many gangs there that God had to send David Wilkinson to New York. And the Spirit of God hit the Bronx in such a way, in the 1960s, gang leaders were being saved all over the Bronx, all over Brooklyn, all over Manhattan. Like a sudden cloud came over the top, blessed be God, of New York area, and God started to break. We didn't know what was going on. But I remember that when I was caught by another gang, and I'm in between all of them, I said, where's my crew? And I had to start. And all of a sudden, some of them will come. And they'll fight, will break out, and I would be able to get away. And we were all running which way, each which way. Where are my Christian brothers and warriors when we are in the problem and in the difficult times? Where are my armor bearers that said, I love you? That shook my hand and told me, I'm your brother. If my carnal brother are in trouble, I'm there. I don't care if they're good, bad, or indifferent. They're my brothers. And the Lord said that we should love our spiritual brothers even more. So why do we always criticize those that are in hard times, where the enemy has come? Because we have to battle against them. That's what this is all about. The devil, the father of lies, has entered into the church. And you know what he has said? If there's one rotten apple in the church, all of them are rotten. So we got to get rid of that rotten apple. I don't think God throws away anybody. He said, go by the byways and highways. Get the crippled, the lames. So I don't want no holy, holy, holy people in my church. I want people that need God and love God and are trying the best that they could to make it to the kingdom of God. I want people that are daring to continue to fight. If you're that holy, you better leave this earth. Because now you're in the wrong place. Because today you could be doing okay for 20 years and all of a sudden something could slip up onto you. I rebuke it in the name of the Lord. And you got to fight. You know how many fights I've had in 45 years? You know how many titles I got? I got so many titles that I throw them all away. I'm not into titles. I'm into Jesus. Titles could take me to hell because I could feel so puffed up that I can't love nobody because I'm going to feel that I'm better than everybody else. I always love Jesus because he's my model, and I think that my pastor was pretty close to that. When Jesus was in this world, he made no exceptions of people. When people didn't believe, he would tell them just as it was. You are of your father the devil because of the works that you do. But you don't do it out of an arrogant spirit. You do it out of a teaching spirit. How can you tell a person that don't know the Lord that they are of their father, the devil, when they don't even know the first thing about it? I'll tell a minister that in a minute, that knows the Word of God and should be practicing the Word of God. I tell an officer, someone that's been in the Lord and has studied the Word and knows and been practicing, I tell him, you're acting like your father, the devil. You better be careful. You better rethink what you're doing. I tell myself the same thing. You're not thinking godly. I talk to myself many times because sometimes this flesh wants to get up and the enemy's trying to build up on it and make you feel that you're all this and all that. No. The only good thing that we have is that Christ lives in us. Did you know that there's nothing else that's good in you? I don't know what's good in your life, but I tell you one thing. The devil's a liar. The only thing that I found good is God in me, and when God is in me, then everything starts to come along right. I speak better. I love people better. I could understand people. I don't look at people the way they are. I look at people the way they should be. Because God is going to make a difference. Because if I do that, I got to remember that I was out there too. I was not born in the church. All my kids, my 10 kids were born in the church. My 22 grandchildren were born in the church. And they're being raised in the church. And they love God and preach and sing and do all this. I didn't have that privilege. I had a good mother and a good father, good grandmother. But they didn't know the Lord. But you know what happened? I think they have more love than some Christians. Because they used to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, thou kingdom come. Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. This is a time of need. But they prayed. You see, because a lot of people criticize Mary, but Mary was the mother of Christ and she was a praying woman. We're not supposed to pray to her, but we're supposed to love her because she was chosen by God to bring the Messiah into the world. That's right. Great woman of faith. But many of us are afraid even to talk about her. Imagine if every woman would take her as a model. The way she loved God and the way she gave herself to be able to be the mother of our Savior. She'd be a tremendous witness, wouldn't she? And we could mimic after her. The love of God will help you to love your husbands and your wives. That's why you can't love, because you're trying to love them only in a carnal, humanistic form. The love of God makes you see your husband or your wife in a different light, even in their mistakes. Even when they act a little off. The only one that doesn't act a little off is me. Right, honey? Right, honey? Because I know I'm the boss of my house because she says so. She keeps telling me. I'm starting to believe it. But it gives you what? An understanding that God's love is what makes a difference in your home. God's love is what makes a difference in the love that you have for your children. How you help them. How you pray with them. I tell people, you know, when your children are asleep, go and anoint them. And whisper in their ear. And tell them, I love you. Jesus loves you. My little mommy is sick and she had a bad heart attack. And I went to Puerto Rico. They said she will never live. And the doctor said she got 3 days to live. We will make arrangements to bury her and do all the ceremonies. And she was in an incubator and all the pipes in her nose, and she was crippled on her left side, and she said, ugh. And I never asked the Lord for a favor. Never. And I'm there, and I said, Lord, I ask you for just one favor. If you're going to take mom, don't let her die with all those tubes in her nose and in her mouth. Remove them from her, Lord. I come back about 4 hours later, and they had taken them out. The doctor had spoken to my sister and said she only got a couple of days to live. And I go and I pray for her and I said, Mommy, there's no place greater than heaven. And I love you so much. And my tears just started to come down because she'd been a good mother. She used to beat me a lot with one of those slippers, man. Blah, blah, all the time, but good mother. She beat me because she loved me. Today you beat a child and they want to put you in jail. And I tell them, put me in jail. And if they don't want to be out, I say, you know what? Then you take them and you bring them up. Because it always amazes me how we can love them and beat them because we love them and we want to train them and show them. I'm not saying about abusing them. And then they want to put us in jail. But the cop will go upside their head and beat lumps over their head and over their back and put them and throw them inside the cell and slam them up against the wall and everything is okay. And then they say, we're only doing our job. So let me do mine too. So you wouldn't have to do it. You understand? Let me do my job. I mean, there are abusers that abuse the kids. So we have to be able to love them in such a way that whenever we have to beat them, we beat them. My mama, that's what I'm getting to. My mama, thinking she's helping me out. Eh? My mama used to beat me like that. My father only beat me 3 times in all my life because he was always in and out. And when his mama used to say, I'm going to tell your father, oh my God, when Papi gets home, my Pop didn't play. He beat me 3 times, but I know I was beat. I know I was beat. He didn't play. I mean, Pop hit me, he knew. My pop was to be a boxer, too. And here I was a little man now, 15 years old, and I think I'm all that. Fighting outside, I'd taken up a little of the martial arts and things like that, and I thought I was pretty good. You know, but Pop, when you talk to him, the old school, you couldn't look up and look Pop in the eye. Pop spoke to him. Yes, Poppy, you can. But that day, I lifted up my head a little like that, and I just happened to go just like that a little. I didn't mean to go all the way. I'm almost positive by then. It was just a reaction. I think I had one of those nervous tics. Because he scared me, and I went like that. And, oh, you think you're big enough? You think you're man enough? I said, no, Daddy. No, no. He said, put your hands up, boy. I said, no, Dad. And I had to put him up because he was coming. And he came and he rammed me with the right, and then he didn't hit me once, he hit me twice, and I wonder how did he do that? He hit me with the fist and then hit me with the elbow coming across. Because it feels, you know, when you hit somebody this way, automatically you move this way to try to get away from it. So when I move and he hit me with it, he hit me because the elbow's coming right behind. So he went, bam, and caught me with that elbow. I said, oh, and then I'm trying to get away. And he done the same thing on the other side. And my arm just dropped because he caught me on the nerves. And he said, you ain't big enough. I don't want to be big enough yet. That was the last time Pop, no, that's a lie. That was next to the last time he ever hit me. The next time he hit me, my father used to like to help my mother. That's why I like to help my wife. He loved my mother a lot. He was washing dishes and helping my mother out in the kitchen. Because we had 7 brothers and 2 sisters. And all of a sudden, I go next to him and I said something. You know how you talk a little bit out of tune? So my tune went up a little, and he has this rag in his hand, and he's washing the dishes, and it's wet. So all of a sudden, he goes like this real quick, bam, and caught me across my mouth with it. Last time, he said, the next time is when you're about 25 years old, I'm going to whip you to the tree. He didn't have to whip me no more. But only 3 times, my mama beat me all the time. But where am I going with this? The love that we should have for our families. They done this because they were training us. In the church, we got to train our children to respect the elders, to respect the seniors. Many of our children in the communities, in the church, they don't respect the elders. If they don't respect their parents, how are they going to respect somebody else? The first teaching of anything is love towards your fellow man. That starts from the cradle. That we must teach our children to love God over all the things and teach them to love themselves. Not to make exceptions of people. Try to train a person when they're 18 or 19 years old to love when you never trained them before. You have to take that tree and cut it. And I thank God for miracles. Because you're going to need a miracle But God is still in the... Let me finish this up so you can go home, because tomorrow is going to be an early day. But because I don't want to go back home anyway, so I could stay here for another 3 hours. My wife will grab me. She'll grab me by the tie and say, come on. No? All right, baby. Okay, thank you, honey. She's such a wonderful lady. I don't know what I would do without her. She does so much for me. That's why I love her, because she does so much. If she didn't do anything, I wouldn't love her. Because I need somebody that loves me and is willing to help me, right? And if she didn't love me, she would not do it. Did you understand that? Many ministers' wives don't help their husbands. They have a hard time. I have a hard time trying to make her stop helping me. She's on that computer all night. Sometimes if I leave her, sometimes I do. When I turn around and say, man, this woman's still on that computer. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And she got to go to work the next day. And I'm wondering, then she's the pastor of the church. And then she has a harder time trying to deal with me. Thank you for giving me permission for saying that. But also, whoso keep his commandments, when you keep his commandments, you will receive the blessings of God. Brother Clement, I'm reading your book. So you're in trouble, because I'm going to use a lot of the stuff that you got in there. Amen. Amen. Because the Shekinah of Jehovah God is real. Through the whole Old Testament, New Testament, and in this dispensation that we are living in. God is still working and still writing books, I'm telling you. He ain't finished yet. And that's what amazed me. Because I don't find too many ministers talking in that particular area. See, God broke me down and took me out of denomination to preach His Word. The Word of God will set you free. But it got to be done in love. Each and every one of us that are here right now, you're here because you love God. And because God loves you. If not, you wouldn't be here. The enemy, our sister, you said that he tried to stop her. He will always put stumbling blocks. But she jumped over the hurdles and kept on going. Why? Because you love God. Did the enemy try to stop you from coming? Of course he would. I was going to try to make so many excuses why not to come, even though I wanted to come. And they were all real. Because of all the work that we're doing with the different churches in the Bronx, with the different meetings. My grandson just passed away Saturday. I could have made 101 excuses. But you know who comes first? Jesus and His kingdom and what He has called us to do. And I still don't know why God allowed me to be here. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have felt so comfortable. I have felt the love of God. I have felt the anointment of God. I have felt a revelation as I prayed there. So I know that I've been blessed and that God is about to open up a new dimension. Blessed be God. To start a new revival. Not a revival of man calling, of having just singing and praising and money going out. It's a revival of new mind, of new teaching, of the anointment of God. Bringing us in fire and making each and every one of us a vessel unto the glory of His holy name. Preparing warriors for the last war that we're going to fight. He got the powers of hell and He got the powers of denomination and religion that are going to come. Because even the government is trying to get into the churches. And the only government that could come into the churches is the government of the kingdom of God. Blessed be His name. That government comes in, no one else can come in. Because we only have one great politician and His name is Jesus. The Son of the living God. And because He loved us so much and He promised us and keeps His promise. Politicians promise and give you nothing, but Jesus promised and give you everything. Blessed be God. Let me leave that alone. I'm going to finish. Because we are on a journey right now. Whatever God is doing, lo que Dios está haciendo, lo vamos a hacer. What God is doing, we're going to do it. And I thank God, God allowed me to preach in two languages. I thank God, God is Puerto Rican. But He had to kill me and say, you know, in order for you to get into my kingdom, you got to die. And when I died, I stopped being a Puerto Rican. Isn't that amazing? I belong to a new kingdom. I don't belong to this kingdom anymore. I thank God that God changed me. You're dead. You're not black no more. There's no black people here. There's no white people here. They're the only people that have resurrected into the kingdom of God. There's a new life, a new beginning. All you got to do is allow God to resurrect you. You see, I know that I don't live no more because His love has filled my heart. And the only reason I lasted this long is because of His love. His love is so perfect, I can't get away from it. There's no way for me to go. The apostles told the Lord, Lord, You're speaking so strong that everybody's leaving and going. And the Lord asked them, do you want to go too? He said, where will we go? Well, only You have words of eternal life. So I said, where would I go? I have tried it all, everything else. I have had money in the world. I have done... Let me leave that alone. And that didn't last. But the only thing that have lasted is the love of God in my heart. You know, when you're in love with somebody, you can't leave that person. Even when you want to. So today I give you love. God bless you. The love of God that surpasses all human understanding. If we go through the whole birth of love, when that love is in your life, it bears fruit. It's not just a word. It's just not an expression. It's not just a biblical quotation. It is a life that takes life in your life. And God's power will help you through love to overcome the powers of Satan. Because he has no more authority over you. What did he say? Get on behind me. Did you tell him that? I don't even have to tell him that. I just ignore him. And I sing to the Lord. And I say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And he's trying to whisper in my ear, shut up. I don't have to hear you. I don't want to talk to you at all. Go in the name of Jesus. If I start to listen to him, man, he'll drive me crazy. But the Lord told me, you know, you ever seen the two in a matrimony fighting? Ignore him or ignore her. And you see, hello, they keep on going. Hello. They go crazy. But you ignore him. So I ignore something in the name of the Lord. And I say, Lord, close these material ears and open up my spiritual ears that I could hear your glory. You know that the enemy tried to talk to Jesus in Matthew 4? If he's going to tell him, he'll try to do it to us. We have to ignore him and tell him it is written also. It is written. Don't talk too much for him. Just tell him, it is written. Get down behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. No, I already have the kingdoms of the world. The King of Kings has already come before you. And he gave me the kingdoms of the world. But he even gave me more than that. He gave me to sit in heavenly places in the kingdom of God. Blessed be the Lord. He can't give me that. God gave me that. And I know that he could keep his word. Because Satan will give you the kingdom, take it from you and give it to somebody else. But when God gives you something, there's no one that can take it from you. Hallelujah. Wow, the time is going. Let me finish it. I don't want to say that. I told people that I'm long-winded. The Spirit of the Lord is here today. But not only today. He's here every day. He's here to give us a helping hand. He that says that he abides in him ought to keep himself and walk as Christ walked. Do you believe that? When you and I are able to try to live as Christ lived, you don't have to preach too much. You don't have to try to make people believe what you're saying. They will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. But you have noticed many Christians, they talk about the Lord, but their life and the fruits of their life are not according to the Word of God. So the people cannot see God. And then we tell him, but don't look at me, look at God. But I got to look at God through you. Because you are the example of God and the transformation here on earth. So you got to live a godly life. You got to have a life that is going to show and make a difference. If you don't have it, that's okay. Don't get upset. Go to the altar in the secret place of your house. And talk to the Lord and ask the Lord to make you over. To put love in you so that you could love everybody else. About 35 years back, I went to the altar praying to the Lord. See, I fell in love with Jesus when I met him, with his work. I gave up everything. I didn't want to do nothing else but just learn the Word of God. I locked myself up in my room and just studied the Word and studied the Word and studied the Word and read and go to church and for years. But one day, I saw this crippled man crossing the street on Cortland Avenue, 156th Street in the Bronx, and it broke my heart. And I stood there in the corner and I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, heal him. Lord, set him free." And nothing happened. And that hurt me. And I went to the altar. And I said, "Lord, I guess I don't have enough love so that your power could work through me." I was young. And I said, "Lord, give me your love that I may love as you love." And I started like to feel that God was saying to me, "You can't take my love." I know that I was hearing that, but I couldn't accept it. And I was just saying, "Lord, give me your love. Because I want to love the way you love." And in this human vessel, I started to feel the passion of God in my life. And I felt like I was going to die. And God just probably gave me just a little sample. But from that day on, I said, "Lord, let your will be done in my life and teach me how to love." And God started to teach me how to love, how to treat people, how to talk to people, because I talked a little bit out of line and didn't realize it. I had a message that everyone was going to hell without explaining to them because I wanted to get them saved. One day in the message, I felt the power of God that just came and transformed my emotions, my feeling, my understanding. And the word just started to flow out. And it felt like there was something inside of here that just started to go out. And the congregation started to cry. And the Lord told me, "Now tell them that they want that love, that they got to love their children, they got to love their family, to stop criticizing." And he doesn't tell that lady over there, that's the missionary, to stop complaining about her son and criticize him that he's on drugs and that she feels ashamed because her son is on drugs. Tell her that she should feel ashamed because he's going to hell, not because of what people are going to say. Tell her to pray for his salvation and for his deliverance and stop complaining. And she looked up at me and she started to cry. Because she was telling God, "Lord, I'm ashamed because I am a missionary and my child is corrupt. He's robbing, he's in the community, he's a drug addict, and I'm ashamed." And the Lord told her not to be ashamed because of that. Tell her to be ashamed because he may get lost and go to hell. Tell her to stop believing and trusting in me. And as I told her, she started to pray and cry before the Lord and said, "Lord, just save him. No matter how you want to save, just save him. I'm not ashamed anymore. I just want him to be saved. I just want the devil to let him go." 6 months later, the chains were broken off. Hallelujah. Because that ain't about your shame. It ain't about what people are going to say. You got to be worried about them getting into the kingdom. That's the love that should be in your heart. A love that surpasses all human understanding. Blessed be the name of God. Hallelujah. Today, we break that spirit that keeps us in bondage of lies. Hallelujah. Because he is the father of lies. That truth sets you free. And it frees everyone else that you meet in your journey to life. And you don't need to be prayed for every time and lay hands on. You need to start trusting and believing that the fire of God is in your life. And God said that he will be with you. And that he will give you the petitions of your heart. You are a warrior. Take your shield. Take your sword. Pick it up and use it in the name of the Lord. You may not use it wisely at the first, but the more you practice with it, you become a professional with it in the name of Jesus. Because practice makes perfect and the door of hell cannot prevail against you. Hallelujah. You have been ordained to become a liberator of those that are in spiritual prisons. Hallelujah. You should not conform to your own ways, but to the ways of man, but know that the love of God should be in us. We are an army to reckon with. And God send the power, not from the White House, but from heaven. He sent that power that is in you that makes you different. That no one could stop you because you are not of this world either. You are from the kingdom of God and you're going back up there again. The moment that you died and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, God is our King. God is our President. God has the first word and God has the last word. And when God is with us, who can be against us? God bless you. God keep you and may His Holy Spirit move you. I'm not even going to pray for you. I'm not even going to pray for you. Because all you got to do is believe in the Word and practice the Word. Prayer ain't going to do anything unless you practice what you have received and put it into practice in your life, and you will deliver yourself. And then we will be able to do one thing. Pray one for another. Because we'll die praying for you and anointing you and praying and praying and praying the same thing all over and over again. But you know what? When someone's praying for you, better pray back for them. That's what the Word says. Pray one for another. And the Lord will answer our prayer and deliver us and bless us. May you be blessed. May you and your family be blessed. May your whole generation be blessed. May the people that you meet in your journey through life be blessed. And I'm going to just close up with one more little bit, one little thing. Stop blessing the unbelievers. Because you're casting your blessings to the swine. Stop praying for deliverance for the unbeliever. It's a difference. I don't bless the devil's children. I pray that God may set them free so that their blessing will come to them. But how are you going to bless those that are unbelievers? The blessings is the bread of the children of the Lord. Deliverance belongs to those that are in captivity. Pray for those that persecute you. What are you praying? Keep on persecuting me? Or you pray that they may be delivered. And in that form, they cannot persecute you no more. Be thou set free in the name of the Lord. Be thou set free in the understanding of your mind. May you understand where to cast your blessings and how to set somebody free. When somebody does something to me, I say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I pray that God will set you free in Jesus' name. And if I don't want to have a problem, I just say it in my mind. But I look them straight in the eye. And if the moment comes, I tell them, I set you free in the name of Jesus. But how can you put a blessing on an unbeliever? Blessing is the meat and the food of the children of the Lord. Deliverance belongs to everybody else. Whether my wife, my children, my cousin, my uncle, my mother, to unbelievers. And if I give you peace, because you don't have no peace, and you don't receive it, it's going to come right back to me. You see? That's the difference. Because people are living and walking in this world without peace. So we say, peace be to you. And give them the spirit of peace so that understanding may come. See, when a person is at peace, they could think. When a person is not at peace, they can't think. The enemy has their mind. So when you set them free, they say, peace be to you. They jump back. Do you know that there's a power when you say, peace to you in the name of Jesus? There's power. Why? Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So I say to you, as Jesus said when he left, peace be unto you and your family and your friends and everyone you meet in your journey through life. Father, we're thanking you for salvation, for deliverance. We're thanking you, Lord God, because we know that each and every one of us that are here, that you have brought here, oh Lord God, are delivered. Now, Lord God, help us to mature in that knowledge, in that understanding, Lord God. Take the baby bottle from us, Lord God, and that we may eat meat in the name of Jesus. Meat that will make us strong and wise, oh Lord God. And that we may be developed to be, oh Lord God, our brother's keeper. And that we may be able to keep each other in love, Lord God, in protection, Father. And when something happens, Lord God, that we may rest to each other's side and be a blessing, Almighty God, in the blessed name of Jesus, your resurrected Son, Father. Do we ask this and believe and trust that is done to the glory of whose name? Whose name? Jesus. Whose name? Jesus. Whose name? Jesus. God bless you.
This is the end of this. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.